Nation. And now open your hearts and minds to receive a fresh word from God that can change your life, delivered by our lead pastor, Eddie Swan.
Good morning. Hold up your Bibles and we'll get right into the word of the day. This is the word of God. I will choose to believe it over my circumstances. I will choose to trust it whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Last week, I started a new sermon series entitled, I'm Not Blank Enough. And the impetus behind the series is the comparisons that we make about ourselves using other people as the object of the comparison. And every one of us, I believe, has a part of ourselves, a part of our life, that we're just feel inferior to somebody else. We compare our behavior, we compare our looks, we compare the cars we drive, the homes we live in, the neighborhoods we live in. We compare our bodies. Are we too skinny, too fat? Do I have enough of this and not enough of that? We compare our levels of education, our intelligence. We compare our jobs or the places we work and the people we work with or we work for. We compare where we go to church or how long we've walked with Jesus. And last week, we filled in the blank with I'm not blank enough with the word good. I showed you that in and of yourselves, you're not good. But because of what Jesus did for us, we are more than good. Amen? We're good enough. We're good enough to be not only saved by God, as we witnessed today, but we're good enough to be used by God. And I never want you to believe the lie that there's something about you that God can't use. Amen? I told you these three important truths about you being good enough. First, God always sees His best in you. I don't know what you see about yourself when you look in the mirror, but I want you to know God only sees the best when you have Jesus. The second thing is that God sees His potential in you. I know that many times we think we don't measure up, or we can't quite be as good as somebody else. Or maybe you know why you can't be as good as somebody else? Because you're not them. You're you. And God wants to use you, and he sees His potential in you. And finally, He has gifted you for His glory. Now, I was with a men's Bible study at Franco's and Friday mornings, and we were together this past Friday, and I was talking to the men about this very thing, about the fact that God has gifted every one of us, and He placed us in the places and in the positions and then the situations that we find ourselves in, ultimately for His glory. You're not there for any other reason. I know you think you're there to make a living. You think you're there to fulfill this role or to fulfill this job or to do this or do that. I want you to know, as a child of God, you are there to make a difference on the earth for Jesus. I ended the sermon with this scripture, and I'm going to be bringing the scripture up to you weekly because I want you to get this. Literally, I want you to get this in your spirit. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. This scripture is going to be foundational for us. When we came to understand that because Jesus is good, that when we have Jesus, then we're made good, right? Because of His goodness. Because His goodness, here it is, was imputed to us by the actions of the cross. When Jesus went to the cross and He rose from the dead, He imputed His righteousness to you. You became good enough the day that you said yes to Jesus. Today, we're going to fill in the blank once again with this one. I'm not smart enough. Has there ever been a time in your life when you thought that exact phrase, I'm just not smart enough? Yeah, the rest of y'all are in denial, but there's a river like that in Egypt. For a minute, let's look at the difference between wisdom and knowledge, or knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge are facts, information and skills acquired by a person through experience or education. The theoretical or practical understanding of a subject, that's knowledge. How many of you know some smart people? I know a lot of smart people. And then here's wisdom, the quality of having experience knowledge and good judgment. So wisdom then is not only having acquired knowledge, but being able to put our knowledge to work on ours or someone else's behalf. How many of you know some really smart people who can't find their way out of a paper bag? I know, isn't it sad? It's kind of sad, right? You got all this knowledge. You score so high on all these tests, but you're too dumb to walk out the room. And I mean that in the most loving of ways. So we've all thought, I believe, at times that we weren't smart enough. We find ourselves in positions or in situations where we go, I've never done this before. I don't know how. I'm not equipped. You know, I grew up thinking those exact thoughts about myself. I grew up, I guess I did a lot of dumb things as a kid, and I rebelled a lot. And so I was told from the time I was little, that's stupid. What are you doing? Why are you acting that way? You know, why are you saying those things? That's stupid. You're stupid. And so, you know, I began to think and believe that I was stupid until I was about 20 years old. And I took the civil service exam to become a cop. And on the entire hundreds of questions, I missed two. I went, maybe I ain't so dumb. And then I was working in the insurance business after I was a policeman. And I decided the company I was working for was going to close. And I decided I was going into business for myself. I'd never done it before. I was scared. We had a pretty large investment of our own money to start the process, and it was risky. I mean, I was putting things on the line that I probably shouldn't have put on the line, but I did because I believed at the time, and I wasn't a believer, I wasn't a follower of Jesus, but I believed that this was the path for my life, and I became successful doing that, and then I got saved. In the process of doing insurance, I got saved, gave my life to Jesus, and Jesus said, now I want you to leave this and come follow me in full-time ministry. People thought I was off my rocker. My dad called me one day. You got a minute? Yeah, what's up? Are you okay? You're okay, like, mentally? Like, what do you mean? Well, I mean, like, you make a really good living as an insurance agent. Why are you going to do that to go do something you've never done before? Because God said so. I did stupid things. I acted in stupid ways because I believed that I was actually stupid. See, Forrest Gump said, stupid is as stupid does. Forrest was saying, when you believe that you're not equipped, when you believe that you're stupid, guess what? Your behavior will match your belief. When we decide that we're going to follow Jesus and we're going to believe the truth, we're going to believe his word over our lives. Like we say every week, right? This is the word of God. I choose to believe it over my circumstances. I choose to trust it. You get the idea. We choose to believe that over our situations and our circumstances, and we get to choose. Are we going to live in the things that we can provide? Are we going to live in the things that we produce? Or are we going to live in what God has for us? My behavior became a reflection of what I believed. And so often you see people say things like this, especially right after the first of the new year. I want to quit smoking or lose weight. And I just use those if that's your deal. I'm sorry, I'm stepping on your toes. But we say things like that. I want to try to quit smoking. I'm going to try to lose weight. When you hear the words, I want to try to do something, there's usually means that I've tried before and I failed. And so now I'm going to try again, but I'm probably going to fail. So I'm just telling you ahead of time, I'm going to try. When I have young couples come to me all the time and say, hey, we kind of really love one another, and we're going to try this marriage thing. It's not something you want to try, not for the faint of heart. All you married people like, amen. Yeah. And it's the reason that 50% of all marriages end in divorce, because people just decide they're going to try it. It's like trying a new hobby. Let's face it, marriage is not easy. And you don't try marriage, you commit, right? We commit. Yesterday, I got to be a part of a very special occasion. Kevin and Carla, Tuesday, was coming Tuesday, will be married 20 years. Yeah. And we had a surprise. Kevin didn't know. Everybody knew but Kevin. We did a surprise vow renewal for them yesterday, and the worship team was there and some of their family and so on, and we renewed their vows. It's a 20-year commitment, and I told them yesterday, and I want to tell you, though 20 years doesn't happen by accident. 35 years for Peggy and I, just past January. Doesn't happen by accident. It happens by commitment. It happens because I believed we could. And when you believe you can, you will. Amen. You know, the belief of failure is greater than the belief of success. If you believe you'll fail, you will. But not just believing that you'll succeed, but literally trusting God and saying, God, I want to be successful, but I want to do it your way. And when you do it his way, the results are up to him. When you start believing the truth, you'll start behaving the truth. You know, Jesus was considered by the people that knew him and met him on the earth wise for his years, wise for his age. As a matter of fact, the religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees, would come to hear Jesus teach. Now, this is the dichotomy. Here's this seemingly uneducated son of a carpenter, and the most learned people in the community were coming to hear him teach them. It didn't make sense because Jesus taught with authority. Jesus taught with his mind in heaven, and God was downloading. He was God. God was literally downloading to Jesus the wisdom of heaven. I want you to understand, when you decide to follow Jesus, the wisdom of heaven is available and accessible to you. What do we say in 1 John 4:17? In this world, we are like who? Jesus. 1 John 4:17, just so you know. Now, as Jesus is, so are you. Now listen, I don't care what your ACT, SAT, or IQ numbers are, because in the kingdom of God, those are irrelevant. Those are only good in corporate America. Those only work to get into university. But when you want to get into Jesus University, all he looks at is this, the heart. Now, remember this, the opposite of wise is foolish. The Bible has a lot to say about the fool. Psalm 14:1 says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 53:1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Proverbs 10:14, the wise store up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool invites ruin. Proverbs 12:15, the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Proverbs 17:28. Even fools are thought wise if they keep silent, and discerning if they hold their tongue. I'm not smart enough is the statement that I'm going to refute today. And based on the Bible and what we see here, or what we've just read, we can easily see ourselves in the words of the fool, right? One thing about the fool that I've noticed in the scriptures that I read to you is that the fool usually spurns or rejects the ways of God, but the wise run after him. So listen, anybody wise and consider themselves wise now in the house? Anybody running after Jesus? If you're running after Jesus, according to the scriptures, you're wise. Now, there's a man in the Bible who's said to be the wisest man that ever lived. His name is Solomon. Became king. He was King David's son. And if you'll turn in your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 3, we're going to study a little bit about King Solomon and his, the thing that gave him the wisdom, and then the thing that made him a fool in the end. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3, Solomon showed his love for the Lord by walking according to the scriptures given him by his father David, except that he offered sacrifices and burned incense on the high places. The king went to Gibeon to offer sacrifices, for that was the most important high place, and Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, ask for whatever you want me to give you. And Solomon answered, you've shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You've continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne to this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. In other words, Solomon was saying to God, I'm just not smart enough. I want to teach you four important lessons from Solomon's life about being smart enough. Number one, wise people understand their weaknesses. Look what Solomon said in verse 7, chapter 3, verse 7. I'm only a little child, and I don't know how to carry out my duties. Here's my weakness, God. I'm in a position that I don't feel comfortable being in. Here's my weakness. I don't know how to do what you've called me to do. Anybody ever make that statement to God before? I make it pretty much weekly. God, here I am. Don't know how to do it. I know many times you look at me as the pastor. Well, you got to have it all figured out. You went to seminary. You did all those things. Listen, seminary does not prepare you to lead a church. Seminary does not prepare you to lead a staff. Seminary doesn't prepare you to deal with money. Seminary doesn't prepare you to deal with the things that you're going to deal with people. I want you to know, all seminary does is teach you is about the Bible. Important. But you have to live day to day. Here's my weakness, God. I'm in this position, and I don't know how to maneuver. I don't know how to manage it. I'm overwhelmed, and I'm freaking out a little bit. I said that before. You ever been put in a position that you've never operated in before, and you made that statement? God, I don't know how to do what you're asking me to do. You know, it would appear, according to Solomon, that wise people are humble. Anybody, you have any of your friends that are, you call them know-it-alls? Every subject you bring up, they know everything about it. Matter of fact, you get to the place where you quit bringing stuff up, because sure this joker going to know something about it. He going to know somebody who does it. It's like, I ain't even talking to you. Nobody likes a know-it-all. And this is what Solomon did. Here Solomon just went to God and said, I don't know it all. I know who has all the answers, and I believe you do. And that's where we find the humility in following God when we go to him and we say, I don't have the answers, but I know you do. Right. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less and putting Jesus first. When we decide we're going to put Jesus first, it's saying we're not first. Right. You know, there's a ministry out there called I Am Second. Anybody ever heard of it? And a lot of famous people, a lot of movie stars and people like that that have given their lives to Christ, if you go look up iamsecond.com, they go on there and they give their testimony about following God. The guy, Brian Welch, the guitar player from Korn. Anybody know who Korn is? Phil Robertson from the Robertsons, Duck Dynasty people. Several of their family members are in that website. Anyway, a lot of actors. You'll see. Anyway, I Am Second. That's realizing that I'm not first anymore. I'm not the one making the decisions. I'm not the one who's leading the charge. You are, Jesus, and I'm following you. You ever asked for Jesus' help in your situation? If you've never asked him to help you in your situation, don't expect him to help you in your situation. We have to submit our weaknesses to him. It's in your weakness, it's in your admission, it's in that humility of weakness where God goes, I got this. When we give it to him and we ask him, hey, please come and lead, because I am scared to death, and I don't want to lead these people down a wrong path. That's what Solomon was saying. Hey, you put me in charge, you can't even count all these people. Wise people understand their weakness. Number two, wise people are not too proud to ask for help. Look what he said in verse 9, 1 Kings 3, 9. Let's go to 3, 8. There it is. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? Look at the place. Solomon is saying to God, it's not my people, even though I'm the king, they're your people. And you ask me to govern them, but God, I don't have what it takes. And so I need you to lead me. I need you to give me the answers. Look, they're too numerous. This is too big a position for me. You know, I had a friend years ago, we had a group of guys we worked out with. And every day at the end of our workout, we would gather in this room at the gym, and we would share prayer requests and pray for each other. And so we'd go around the room, and you know, everybody got prayer requests, except this one guy. Now, I knew his life, and I knew everything wasn't perfect. Family wasn't perfect. Work wasn't perfect. Life wasn't perfect, because is anybody's life perfect? If it is, raise your hand, because I'm coming to your house. No, life is not perfect, and we all at times need God to intervene and God to do something in us, but he never, ever asked for help. And every one of us were like transparent with each other. We're like, I'll share everything with you guys. You know why? James tells us in James chapter 5 that when we confess our sins to each other, we're healed. I want you to know there's power in transparency. Don't be that guy. Ask for the help you need. Ask your friends around you. Pray for me. I'm struggling. Pray for me. I need help. I'm in a position I don't understand. I need some help. Would you pray for me? And don't be afraid to ask God for the help that you need. Proverbs 15:22 says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Now, listen, you know, when I started New Beginnings now 12 years ago in June, we started New Beginnings with six people in the Vegas living room. Me and Peggy, Reggie and Jenny Vega, and then two other people. That was it, six of us. And it was easy to manage those six. I mean, one of them was my wife, so I mean, she pretty much do whatever I say. I'm kidding. I mean, I pretty much do whatever she says. Yeah, let's get that right. And then as things began to grow, you know, I had to start putting people around me who had gifts and talents I didn't have. So we have guys like Jerry and Mallory and others who are part of our financial board. These are wise men, older than I am. Which is good because you have more experience than I do. A little more road miles. But I can go to these guys and I can say, hey, this is what's happening. Give me some wisdom. And they always have some wisdom. I could shock them every now and then. But they have wisdom. And then I have a group of elders around me. And I have other people around me praying for me and helping me guide the ship. You know why? Because it's gotten kind of big. And there are a lot of things, just quite frankly, I know you don't want to hear this from your pastor. There's a lot of things that I just don't know. But they do. So you're safe. Plans fail for lack of counsel. They know lack of counsel. We all need people around us to help us make decisions and help us. I hear from God. There's no doubt that I hear from God. But as I hear from God, and then God says, all right, I want you to go do this. I don't know how to do it. So I go to them. Help me out. Here's what God's saying. And they help me figure it out. So if it wouldn't have been for those guys, this building probably wouldn't have been a reality because I didn't know how to maneuver this or manage this. But we did it, right? Number three, wise people realize that the call of God is bigger than they imagined. 1 Kings 3:7 again. Here at the end of the verse is what it says. Go to the but right there in the middle. Don't you love the buts of the Bible? But I am only a child and I do not know how to carry out my duties. God calls us to things that are bigger than we ever dreamed we could manage. Kevin said during worship, if you can figure it out, you don't need God. If you can do it, it's not impossible. And God is saying to us, hey, my calling on your life is way bigger than you imagine. But don't be afraid. Don't be scared because I'm going with you. I'm going to go do it with you. And together we're going to accomplish this. But you have to be willing to step out of the boat. So who's willing to put their feet in the water? It was warm, wasn't it, Stephen? I did that just for you, my friend. He calls us to step out. But this is what he says. Hey, I'm not going to send you alone. I'm not going to send you out there to fail. I'm not going to send you out there to look like a fool. I'm going to send you out there equipped with gifts that the Holy Spirit's going to give you. And I'm going to empower you. And I'm going to walk with you. And together, we are going to do this. And people will be drawn to me because of what you do. And number four, last but not least, we're getting there, I promise. Wise people realize that there's always a price to pay. The proud person is the one who thinks that his or her way is better than God's way. If you've ever made that mistake, it won't take you long to realize, whoops, probably shouldn't have said that. But that's what we want to do, right? We say, I want to follow God, but I want to do it on my terms. And God's like, you know, that all sounds good. And you can certainly follow me like you want. But you can't receive and live in and have the blessing and abundant life that I paid for doing it your way. You want all those things? Do it my way. And when you do it my way, you get everything that comes along with that. Amen? So this is what happened in King Solomon's life. If you go forward a few chapters to 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 23 and 24, this is what it says about King Solomon. So we're back in chapter 3. We see Solomon praying and saying, God, I'm only a kid. I need some wisdom. God, I don't have what it takes to do what you've asked me to do. And here in chapter 10, it says, King Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than all the other kings of the earth. They say if King Solomon was alive today, that he would be richer than Jeff Bezos. That's the guy who started Amazon. He's the richest man in the world. They said Solomon's riches of that day were greater than the riches of Jeff Bezos today. That's how much money he had. King Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than all the other kings of the earth. Look at verse 24. The whole world sought audience with Solomon to hear the wisdom God had put in his heart. Unfortunately, Solomon did not remain in his humble state. At some point, the fame went to his head. You know what they say? Don't believe your own press. I know you got people around you telling you nice things. You're wonderful. You're this. You're that. You know what? Take that stuff with a grain of salt and keep moving on. Because the minute you start to believe the press is the minute that you're ready. You're setting yourself up for a fall. I want you to know this is what happened to King Solomon. In chapter 11, verse 1, King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women. Women will get you every time. Besides Pharaoh's daughter, Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites, they were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, you must not intermarry with them because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods. Nevertheless, Solomon held fast to them in love. He had 700 wives of royal birth. I know you guys are probably thinking like I was, 700? I can't even deal with the one I got. I wish Solomon was around today. I had to ask him, Solomon, please, how in the world did you deal with 700? And here's if the 700 wives weren't enough, he had 300 concubines. I don't need to explain to you now, the kids are in the room, what that is. As Solomon grew old, his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord as the heart of David, his father, had been. He followed Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and Molech, the detestable god of the Ammonites. So Solomon did evil in the eyes of the Lord and did not follow the Lord completely as David, his father, had done. And in verse 11, it says, so the Lord said to Solomon, since this is your attitude, and you've not kept my covenant and my decrees, which I commanded you, I will most certainly tear the kingdom away from you and give it to one of your subordinates. Listen, wisdom is a choice that we make. And are we going to follow God's ways? Or are we going to follow the people around us and or our own heart's desires? Solomon turned the focus on himself. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, it says, I became greater. This is Solomon writing. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward of all my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and all what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Solomon, after trying and having everything his heart desired, realized it was all meaningless and the price was too big to pay. You and I must also realize that turning our hearts away from God will carry a price tag that's too big to pay. Listen to me. The greatest scalable wall in your Christian journey is that of wisdom. You know how I know that? Because he tells us in James chapter 1, verse 5, if any of you, say any, if any of you lacks wisdom, this is what he said, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. He doesn't say, hey, you want wisdom? You know, I'm just not sure you can handle it. I'm not sure you're ready for it. No. He says, if you want it, ask me, and I'll give it generously to all. It is the greatest scalable wall of walking with God. You want some wisdom? Ask him. You need some? Ask Jesus, right? Remember, it's just like being good. When we have Jesus, we have all the good we need. We have all the smarts or wisdom that we need, because as Jesus is, so am I. Now, I can stand here today and confidently say that you are smart people. You know why I know that? That's one reason. The second one is that you follow Jesus. And if you follow Jesus according to his word, Psalm 111 verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and all who follow his precepts have good understanding. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord, the reverence and awe of God, is the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge. And if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, I promise you, you have just received the gift, the revelation, the beginning of wisdom and the beginning of knowledge. Nothing is too hard for you, because nothing is too hard for God. Amen. And in this world, you're like Jesus, because that's what he said. Here's the lessons. Wise people understand their weakness. Wise people realize the call of God is bigger than they imagine. Wise people are not too proud to ask for help. And wise people realize there's always a price to pay. Would you stand with me? If you're ready to discover your weaknesses, ask God for help, answer the call of God, even if it scares you, and avoid paying the price of doing it your way, would you join me here at the altar and let me pray for you? And as soon as I finish praying, we're going to do a quick drawing for these three grand prizes from our Easter weekend. And so if you just sit tight for a minute, I would appreciate that. And let's honor the kids who are about to win and give them their prizes. Heavenly Father, we come before you today blessed and thankful, and just asking you, God, just to continue to lead us, to draw us, and to pull us closer to you, God. We don't want to do one thing outside of the perfect will of God for our lives. God, we want to be more like you. So God, as we draw close, God, infuse us, empower us with your wisdom and with your knowledge today. Let the wisdom of heaven be poured out upon these people. And I pray that none of us ever say again, I'm not smart enough, because we realize that we have all that we need in Christ. We praise you and thank you for all that you've done, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Peggy.